All right, we are back on the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Justin Cuthbert, and Ailish Forfar. You know who's coming on with that music. That's Whoop, There It Is. But we got Bruce, There It Is. And our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. That insider is one of the great coaches in NHL history and a current NHL Network analyst. That's Bruce Boudreau. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
We're doing pretty good, I think. How about yourself?
Well, I'm driving to Fort Wayne, Indiana, so I'm 570 miles to go.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, that's a bit of a long haul. What's the road trip move for you? Is there like a snack you need on the way? Are you doing tunes?
I'm sitting in the McDonald's parking lot because I didn't want to order while you guys were on the phone.
I love that.
A little egg McMuffin for me. That's my go-to. Here's a free tip, Bruce. You put a hash brown on the egg McMuffin. You like construct your own sandwich. Absolutely takes it to another level. So free advice. If you try it today, you'll just let me know next time we chat if you like it.
I will. I'll be right on that. Okay.
And also easier while you're driving. So we got you covered here. Okay. So hopefully you got us covered here with some Luke Shen insight, because that's one of the major additions coming to the Toronto Maple Leafs after a busy trade deadline. And what you hear about Luke Shen is, wow, legendary teammate. How could Vancouver let go of him? Because he means so much to that room. So what sets, because there are a lot of good teammates in the NHL, what sets Luke Shen apart?
You know, it's a good question. There are a lot of great teammates. I just think Luke is one of them. I mean, he comes to work every day. He practices very hard. He'll practice in practice. He'll do it like he's playing in a game. So, I mean, if your head's down, beware. But I mean, not only that, he goes to bat for you. He does all the right things, and he's a good guy. And you know what? He can play, too. Like, I mean, everybody knows that if he has a downfall, it's his foot speed. But you give him time and space, he always makes the right play. There's nobody going to stand in front of the net when he's there. I mean, he will – I don't know if he's still leading the league in hits, but he's always right up there. He finishes his checks. And, I mean, I think it was a great acquisition for them.
So there's a lot of balls in the air right now for the Maple Leafs, as many as 9 capable NHL defensemen. Luke just welcomed another baby into the world with his wife. So he missed a couple days or a couple games, and they're trying to fit all these pieces in. And I wonder, because you have such experience with him, what is the best way to utilize Luke Shen? Like, how should he fit into this Maple Leafs roster or into this Maple Leafs lineup, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, it's tough. He's really good in a 5-6 role, but he also played with Quinn Hughes for a year and a half, and Quinn was plus 20, and Luke was always a plus player. So, I mean, if you need a protector, he's always good in that role here. So, I mean, he's a good penalty killer, so you can play him like you want to play him. I mean, I think 12 to 14 minutes a night is possibly is when he's at his best. So, but I have played him, and I've seen him since I've left Vancouver play 18 to 20 minutes as well. So, I mean, I just think when push comes to shove and he gets in the playoffs again, you know, I mean, he was there with Tampa. He also understands if the Leafs go 11-7, that what it takes to be a 7th defenseman, how to stay involved in the game.
Yeah, they certainly had some lineup fluctuations over the past bit after the trade deadline, an influx of new players and this excitement around that. But I wonder, as a former head coach, what challenges you face integrating new players, getting the chemistry set, but also approaching a really important time for the Maple Leafs where they got to get some chemistry going and they have to find some stability to amplify the players and get them in the best performance ready mode where they go into the playoffs.
Well, the biggest problem you can have is having too many good players. I'm serious. We did that in Washington. The year we had 122 points, we went and got, I think, 5 players at the trade deadline, and they could all play. The Scott Walkers, Eric Bélanger's, Joe Corvos. I mean, these guys could play, but we were already so far ahead in the league that we knew the other guys could play too. So it was just trying to get them into a proper fit. The anticipation of that was that you're going to have a good long run, and if you have a good long run, you have depth. The negative portion is you got to have the win the first round to have the good long run, and I think the Leafs are going to be fine because we're making a lot out of it. But, I mean, in reality, their top two lines are the same. Their top four defensemen are going to be the same as they are now. And so, I mean, they're getting a lot of chemistry there. It's where to fit the bottom six in and the bottom two defensemen in.
So when you're looking at those specific areas, and the blender is, you know, fully operational, things are, you know, changing from night to night, what are you looking for as a coach? Is it like a specific partnership, two players that really, really work well together or can do something specific for you? Is it trying to install a line and building out from there? Like, what is priority one when trying to put the first piece in place so that you can put all the pieces in place?
Well, my thought is always fits. And what I mean by that is, if you have a puzzle and there's 12 forwards and six defensemen and you need a ninth forward, is to look around the league and find somebody that fits that ninth player that you need. Like, you don't have to go out and get an offensive guy or the best guy available, but whoever fits. And I look at what Boston did. I mean, they replaced Craig Smith with Garnet Hathaway, a much better fourth-line player than Craig Smith is at this rate. Orlov, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, that, I mean, he can play on the top unit, or he can play a 5-6 unit. And, like, I mean, if you're putting your best line out against and you get the line change against the 5-6 pairing, and Orlov is out there, he was – a lot of times a number 1-2 pairing, so you're not feeling as bad out there. That's what you're looking for. Is where, for example, where is Ryan O'Reilly fit best? Mm-hmm. Is he best on the left wing with Tavares, or is he best as a third line shutdown guy? I don't know. The Leafs know that much better than me. I just watch them every night, like you guys.
So they're not done with the tinkering, because of Matthew Nyes, who's an NCAA standout, of course, looking for a Hobey Baker Award even down the stretch here, has his Frozen Four coming up. And when he does finish that college career, it's anticipated that he'll come and join the Maple Leafs. Now, what kind of challenges does a kid like that have? He's obviously having an incredible NCAA career, and there's a lot of expectation around Toronto, Toronto media, Toronto fans that, you know, he's going to come in and make a big impact right away. Not only integrating him to lineup, but just being a guy that's coming over at 20 whatever years old into a Stanley Cup contending team.
Well, I mean, I think the Toronto media overhypes everything.
I know, we're the worst.
the main reason Nyes would come to Toronto right now was just to get him acclimated to what the NHL life is all about. When we call up guys from college and they play in the NHL, either you, if they're free agents, you either promise them a spot for a game or two, or you just want to get them acclimated with the team. A lot of times guys go to the American League, and it's not that they're going to come in and play in the American League, but they want to get them acclimated to the pro life. Look at Matthew Nyes is a really good player, but is he a top six NHL player today? I mean, there's not too many guys that can fit that, especially on a team as powerful as the Leafs up front. So, I mean, would you want him on your fourth line, and you're going up against Tampa, and all of a sudden on your first shift, they ice the puck and here comes Kucherov, Stamkos, and Point? I don't know. I mean, if you want that scenario for a young man. So, I don't know how good he is. I know I've heard about him like you guys have, but, I mean, unless he's a star, he'd be hard-pressed to play a lot of games in the playoffs for the Leafs. It'd be a pretty big gamble for Toronto.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it there. I think it would be a bit of a gamble, but they also have the support if it didn't work. If they went that route and it didn't work, or he proves that, you know, he's not necessarily ready for that jump up, or Tampa Bay and Kucherov coming at you after an icing. Because it's that way because they went out and got, among those six players, Sam Lafferty and Noel Acciari. If you're looking at last year, if you're looking at previous years, but I guess we'll focus on last year. Like, I saw a tweet today and some stats, you know, Vasilevsky and Campbell last year, same save percentage, 897. the Maple Leafs' top stars had more points than Tampa's top stars. So if you deduce from that, it's like, oh, okay, where was the series lost? Well, it was lost at the margins with Tampa's supporting cast just being a little bit better. So I'll ask you, with Achari and Lafferty, can they bring meaningful change to the Maple Leafs' bottom six to help change their fortunes this time around?
Well, I really like both of their players, both those players. So, I mean, yeah, they can bring meaningful change. But in the end, I mean, that all of those things taken account. In Game 7 last year, Vasilevsky outplayed Campbell. And it always comes down to goaltending in the end. I don't care who you are and what team you're on. And you can look at the stats from here to Kingdom Come. But if you've got the better goaltender, unless you're being outshot 50-15 every night, you're going to win the game.
We're talking to Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach and current NHL Network analyst. Now, the Maple Leafs have played a pretty lengthy regular season here where there's not really much incentive other than battling for home ice advantage because they've known they've been playing the Tampa Bay Lightning for what seems like the majority of this stretch. Now, I wonder how difficult it can be as a head coach to keep a team sharp that isn't clawing into the postseason. Now, a lot of these opponents the Maple Leafs are playing lately have something to prove, something to play for, and that's proven to be a bit of a difficult matchup for the Maple Leafs. How do you, you know, keep a team incentivized when down the road a lot of games really don't mean too much in terms of standings?
Well, I mean, I think that's the one thing as coaches that we have to do. We have to be able to make them excited about every game, and that's the motivation part. I mean, as far as Toronto goes, I truly believe, they know where they are. I mean, I wouldn't, I'm coming to Toronto next week, but I mean, again, we overhype everything. They lose to a team that's not in the playoffs. Oh my God, the world is crashing. the Leafs are going to be just fine. They will figure things out. They've got a lot of great people there, and they will figure it out, and it's just going to come down who plays better, Tampa or them. I mean, we can talk about chemistry and everything else, and we will dissect it six ways to Sunday. But I mean, I would bet if you talk to Sheldon or Kyle right now, they know what their top 12 are going to be in forwards. They know what their top six are going to be on defense. And I mean, you'll see in the last three games of the season, they'll probably play them all. Maybe the last game of the season, they'll play all the other guys that aren't playing in the playoffs, and we'll go from there. But I mean, I am not worried one iota that the Leafs don't know what they're doing and what they're doing with their players.
Who is the best coach in the NHL right now, Bruce?
Well, it's a good question. There's a lot of good coaches in the NHL, but I was talking to somebody yesterday. Anybody that can stay with a team for 10 years, win two Stanley Cups, and keep the same players you've had, a lot of them, for 11 years because you had them in Syracuse, and keep them motivated is doing a fantastic job, and that's John Cooper. And I look at that, and because the shelf life of most coaches is 4 to 5 years, and even if you're on a good team. But I look at him, and he's done it, and he's still doing it and finding ways to get teams better. So, I mean, I would – until somebody, does it a couple times in a row, I got to believe it's him.
Yeah, it's certainly hard to argue that. And, of course, the Leafs will meet Tampa, it looks like, in the first round of the playoffs. When you saw Tampa this year, what was your read? Are they falling off even fractionally? Like, you're not supposed to be great for 10 years like they have been in John Cooper steering that ship. Is there any drop off with this team? Is the same standard there once again this year? Is there really any change to Tampa Bay?
I just don't think their defense is as good as last year's team. I mean, I think they missed the Ryan McDonoughs. There's another guy I can't think of right now that they've been missing. But I mean, we played them twice, and obviously we lost, but it was 5-4 and 3-2 to them. And I just think that I came away thinking that they're a beatable team this year because their defense wasn't as solid. I mean, they still stand up at the blue line. They're still big. They're still strong. But I mean, Hedman hasn't had the year that he normally has. And I think in that vein, they're beatable. And, you know, Vasilevsky has looked normal on more nights than he hasn't. And so it's they're a beatable team. I think they are getting it's tough to win year after year after year. And maybe the grind is a lot for them. But I mean, I guarantee they're going to be a tough out. And I do think home ice is important because Tampa is much better at home than they are on the road. And, I mean, even though Toronto had home ice last year in Game 7, I think it would be more important for them to have home ice this year in Game 7.
Yeah, the Maple Leafs have a pretty great home record as well. So this stretch is really important to see who's going to even just get last change in this playoff series and get home ice advantage between these two teams, because it'll seriously make maybe just the one game difference that takes you to the second round. I wonder how much you see Tampa Bay's championship pedigree factoring into them being a tough out. Now, they've been a proven winner. They know what it's like to play in the biggest stakes and to overcome, you know, some of those adversities that the Maple Leafs haven't had yet. Is that a 20%, if it's a tangible amount, that Tampa Bay has as experience factor that could make a difference?
Well, it definitely can. I mean, I don't think they'll panic at any stage. They could go down 2-0 and they're not going to panic. So, I mean, I think that's where the championship pedigree comes in. That's where the, you know, the experience comes in. I mean, again, I revert back to Game 7 last year. I mean, Vasilevsky just said, okay, nobody's scoring on me tonight. The Leafs were the much better team in Game 7, but they didn't win. And so, I mean, that's where the pedigree comes in, the big games. Who do you want in net in the big games? Who do you want out on the big games? I mean, their best players will play their best, especially if they get down in the series.
So I think we're all hoping we see the Leafs and Bruins in the second round. I think it'd be great for storylines, hockey. It'd be great for this market as well, because that means the Leafs would have gotten that monkey off their back, finally getting a first-round series victory. But I want to ask you about the Bruins. You met them on November 13th. I think that was the second half of back-to-back after the Toronto game early in the season. The Bruins are on this historic pace, but did they feel historically great?
Yeah, that was a really fun part of the schedule, too. Toronto on a Saturday, Boston on a Sunday, Buffalo on a Tuesday, and when they were going good. But anyway, I digress. you know, they just are like a machine. Like, I mean, if you can think of the Russian teams in the 70s and 80s, I mean, they don't get over emotional. They just keep coming at you. And it's something that I don't think any of us really thought of before the season with the injuries they were going into. I mean, Hampus Lindholm and McAvoy, their defense is really good. Ullmark has been incredible. I mean, I was talking to somebody a couple days ago, and they said they think he's only let in one bad goal this year. I mean, that's pretty hard to believe. I mean, that would be a coach's dream right there. So, you know, whoever beats them, but here's the kicker. No matter who gets in the playoffs and how many points you get, you got to be better by 10% if you want to win, because the teams that are beneath you are going to play much better in the playoffs. So if you play at the same level, you're not going to win. You got to play better than the level you played during the regular season.
If the Boston Bruins are, you know, I'd say the best team here on the East Coast, who would be the best team that you saw out on the West Coast?
Oh, very quickly, it would be, I mean, I've always liked Colorado, even though we played them 3 times, we beat them twice, but they haven't never had their whole team. I think they're really good. I mean, I've seen Edmonton play great defensively, but can they keep it up for 28 games? Potentially, I don't know. Los Angeles is the team that really intrigues me. They play hard. They're big. They're physical. And again, they made great trades at the trade deadline. And I think they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Okay, last one for you, Bruce. What's next? You're obviously hanging out with our buddy Jackie Redmond on the NHL Network at the moment, but I feel like you're a forever coach. Do you want to coach again?
Well, I think I got the energy to do it. I mean, I think the thing that always worries me about guys that are getting older and is staying in tune with the young guys. And I think the one thing that hasn't changed is my ability to communicate with players. And I think as long as I can stay at that level and do that, I'd love to do it. I mean, even though things didn't go exactly as planned in Vancouver this year, I mean, the one thing I thought, you know, I was the first one there, last one to leave, got along extremely well with the players and played very hard for me. So to answer your question in that vein, I think I'd like to coach again. I mean, but somebody's got to want me. But if they want me, I'll be there.
Well, we hope you get that opportunity because the NHL is better when you're coaching in it. But for now, maybe you can join us. That's also a good consolation prize for us. Bruce, this was a pleasure this morning. Safe travels. Enjoy the McMuffin. And hopefully we can chat again soon.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
Thanks so much.
That's Bruce Boudreaux, former head coach of the Washington Capitals and Vancouver Canucks, among others, and current NHL Network analyst. And our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
Probably one of the most beloved guys in hockey. He's a fan favorite. The text line's popping off. Him and Charles Davis.
There you go. Without a doubt. He's got that Charles Davis mold to him, doesn't he?
Sure does. I hope to see him get another opportunity. He really deserves it. You saw how that Vancouver fan base, the team rallied around him. Bruce, there it is. I think he's got a lot of life left in him on the bench, so let's see it one day.
Let's see it.
All right, so the Maple Leafs are back in action against the Florida Panthers tonight, 7 p.m., and this looks like an opportunity for a bounce back for your Maple Leafs. Minus 105 on the money line, though. It's a toss-up, which you never, ever see.
Yeah, that is a tight one. That's interesting. They're on the road in Sunrise. I don't know if they have it like down. I remember that fishing trip many years ago that everyone was up in arms about. I don't know if they're a dominant team in Florida per se.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? Like it was a while ago. But there was they went fishing the night. Yes, they went fishing the day before, and I don't think it went particularly well. And of course,
they should have had some Jays spring training.
I think that's closer to Tampa.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, maybe just, you know, hang out in the hotel room get back in the winning column.
Read the plays, watch the tape, get ready to win. That is 7 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. And it's coming off a 7-2 loss against Islanders. It was not a pretty one. So Maple Leafs, kind of a coin toss tonight against the Panthers. Maybe your wake and rake pick comes from that. We have NCAA March Madness to tee up. Of course, four games in the Sweet 16. We got a couple picks in the text line for that. We are day one of the Dell match play, which is really hard to evaluate who's winning at this point because they just play a bunch of like round robin games.
There's a reason why I'm never into this tournament. It's because I just cannot figure it out. Like how in
it takes
match
more
play
brain power
do
than
you lose
I need.
And you hang around. I guess you're not going to get players to come if half of them have to leave after one day. But it just seems so weird. Anyway, I don't think I had a particularly good day with our buddy Victor Hovland getting the job done.
Well, we know that he didn't hit because that was our
pick. Johnny Rahm also lost, and I picked him first overall in the FanX Cup. So I continue to search for a winner when it comes to the golf world.
All right, we'll get to all of that on the other side of the break, and we have some interesting Canadian billionaire pending transaction.
I don't know if we're a pending transaction yet. Maybe interest?
Something that someone's chewing on, maybe?
I'd chew on it.
Interest. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break.
Everything you need to know about the Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, do you want to talk about the NFL and the Washington Commanders?
Let's do it. I didn't do, like, too much reading up on this. I don't know. Did someone say, hey, even if he gets it, like, no chance, Canadian NFL team? I don't know if we got to that point.
I don't think we got to that point.
But it's very intriguing. It's something to chew on.
So, according to Adam Schefter of ESPN, Canadian billionaire Steve Apostolopoulos...
I think you nailed that.
is considering a bid for the Washington Commanders. He's a Toronto native, and he is known to be the third bidder for the team.
He also recently tried to buy Michael Jordan's Charlotte Hornets, apparently.
This guy just wants to spend,
This
eh?
is like when, this is the, like, it's something, obviously, what, 0.00000001% of people get to actually get involved with? But the arms race for the odd franchise that becomes available, it's insane. Like, the Ottawa Senators is going to go for almost $1 billion mm-hmm. for the Ottawa Senators, over $900 million, apparently, is wild. I can't imagine how much this is going to cost.
So it was once valued by Forbes. Now, this isn't the most recent evaluation, but it was once valued at $5.6 billion. It could go for even more, maybe set a new mark for the highest paid price for a North American professional sports team.
So I don't know how your mind couldn't go towards, hey, Canadian billionaire brings NFL team to Canada. Like, they have...
My brain did not go there
no?
whatsoever.
Really?
No.
How could it not?
I don't know, because it doesn't work properly.
That's fair. That's fair. But Canadian billionaire wants to buy an NFL team. No NFL teams in Canada. Untapped market here in Canada. You think an NFL team could not be supported in Toronto? I guarantee you it could be. They also don't have... They have... don't. Remember when we went on the NFLPA, whatever it is. I think it's the NFLPA. Survey was like the facilities. Remember when we went over that?
I remember
And
this.
Minnesota graded highly. Who was the worst team? Washington.
On many levels.
So they got a brutal facility. They have a decrepit stadium. They have a brutal name. They have, like, there's nothing redeeming about the Washington Commanders at this current moment. So if you're buying this franchise, are you not starting fresh? And if a Canadian is buying this franchise, how could we not think about a Canadian team or an NFL team landing in Canada?
So he owns... are in the founder of Six Ventures Incorporated, which is a private equity venture fund. He also contributes a considerable amount to philanthropic organizations. He also went to Harvard. Classic.
Ivy League.
If he knows anything, he'll think about moving the team to Canada.
What would, like, just because I don't want to go too far down this mm-hmm. road, so we'll just talk in, like, generality. Do you, because I was kind of split on this before. Like, when we were talking about the Bills and the Bills in Toronto series and all that stuff, like, I didn't really want the Bills to come to Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know, other than the fact that, okay, I was a big Vikings fan 10 years ago. Love the Vikings, live and die. Like, the thing that I cheered the most for was the Minnesota Vikings. That has all died. That does not exist in me anymore. I don't think I'm at all passionate about the Minnesota Vikings for multiple reasons, fantasy football, gambling, other things. It just doesn't do it for me that much anymore. And I thought, like, the cool thing about cheering for or being a football fan in Canada was that everyone has their own team, right? Everyone mm-hmm. has a team that they cheer for, that they get excited for, and not everyone's the same. One of your buddies, we're going to have a Super Bowl champion, and that's his moment, right? Or his or her moment. They get to be really excited about that. And then the next year, maybe it's someone else. Like, I think that is a cool part of it when people had teams. But I feel like people don't have teams as much as they once did. And I feel like if an NFL team did land in Toronto now, I, like, guarantee it to be a smashing success. But, like, I'm ready for that. I'm ready to cheer for an NFL team again because that's been, like, lost in me. But if there's an NFL team in Toronto, I'm going to be and center.
I think that makes a lot of sense. For someone that likes the Buffalo Bills, I never really wanted the Bills to come to Toronto just because...
See, I thought that would have been an easier sort of transition because that's your team already.
But it's just part of who they are. That they're right. The Buffalo Bills and the culture there and going over the border. And I don't know.
Bills belong to Buffalo.
The
I
Bills belong
you.
To Buffalo. It would be different to move them to BMO Field. Right?
Yeah.
Where would they build this new stadium?
I mean, we can figure that out, right? They've been talking about Rogers Center and what makes sense. Like, clearly they've gone the upgrade route, and I'm really, really looking forward to seeing that. But there's always been conversations about building mm-hmm. a new this, building a new that. I don't think land area would be the big issue.
No, I just meant, like, if you're dreaming of this Toronto NFL franchise.
I don't know. Could I don't know there. What makes the most sense. Like, you always gravitate towards the water, but it's like, how big of a nightmare would it be to get there?
Exactly.
It's probably be better in, like, a more quieter space. Maybe
Port Hope.
North of the city or something like that. I have no
Sutton.
Idea. Sutton could.
Sutton
they get the
could certainly handle it with the one hotel, the motel.
Either way, the person who buys the Commanders is building a stadium. You're not getting around that. So that's one expense is buying it. The second expense is building a new stadium. Because you're not going to be, is it FanEx Field still? I don't know. The one that has water pouring off seats onto people. The one that looks like it's going to just fall and collapse at any moment's notice. Mm-hmm. They got to make something happen with a new stadium. I don't know.
Here's a text from the text line. To 99% of the players are from the United States. They don't want all the BS at the border, blah, 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 blah.
I mean, you're traveling to Toronto if you're in the division once a year. Mm-hmm. If you're not in the division once every couple, bring your passport. I don't think it's a big deal. It's a bigger deal for Toronto Blue Jays, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, is it ever? Hey, opening day, I believe, is 1 week away.
It is, yep.
Hell yeah. The Blue Jays are playing today against the Twins. Got to ramp this Blue Jays stuff up here live at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet, streaming on sportsnet.ca and 590, as well as the Sportsnet app. You can tune into that. Maple Leafs at the Florida Panthers live at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario and 4 NCAA March Madness games. Where do you want to start for the Wake and Rake here?
Let's go through the anchor. I think we got to mix it up. Maybe the order. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not the superstitious
guy. Yeah, let's change the vibes, the juju around, okay?
The vibe needs to change a little bit after an 0-for-6 run for us.
Okay, speaking of Sutton, my guy, Steve from Sutton, happy birthday. Happy baby Friday. Today I'm going with the Dallas Stars on the money line with the Pittsburgh on a back-to-back.
Dallas Stars on the money line, Pittsburgh on the back-to-back. Yeah, I was feeling that as well, Steve. I was bouncing, oscillating. Maybe I'll do something else. But now that I have your support, maybe I'm a little bit more feeling a little better about that. Next up, Jarrett from Halifax. Morning, guys. A cold putter for Victor Hovland. Isn't that always the case with Victor Hovland? Should have known that. Was our demise yesterday. Today at the match play, I like Patrick Cantlay, your pick, over K.H. Lee. If you're looking for a play at the Corrales Punta Cana Open, I believe it is, take our boy and former champ at the Corrales, Joel Damon, definitely Ooh. Our boy, over Brem and Duncan. That's Jarrett from Halifax.
Okay, let's get back on some golf wins here. Good morning. Since I'm a bit cold the last few tennis picks, I'm going off the board today to Euro soccer qualifying. Slovenia to win over Kazakhstan. Slovenia are a competitive team against the world's higher-ranked teams, whereas Kazakhstan are not on that level and haven't qualified for a major tournament, finishing last in their group on their last try. Slovenia are also unbeaten in 5 matches. Some good value here with Slovenia to win -110. Now, I mean, that is the most obscure pick I think we've ever gotten. Neil in Newfoundland.
It definitely is, but just using like a very basic amount of brain power.
Sounds good.
Slovenia at -110 sounds like a good pick over Kazakhstan in the soccer world. We shall see if that comes through. This is Duncan from Georgetown. Good morning, guys. Let's start the morning right after McDavid's 2-goal game hit 60 last night.
Yes, he did
night.
Say that, Duncan.
Shout out for Duncan. Today, we'll be back in one of the coldest dogs in the tournament. Kansas State to beat Michigan Ooh. State should be a good game with the dogs on top. I'll be rooting for a Kansas State victory tonight. Maybe won't
They're
double down on it.
Plus 105.
Plus 105. I like Kansas State today. I know the Tom Izzo thing is the Tom Izzo thing, but Kansas State, I think, is a better team.
Okay. Corey from Port Hope here, home of the future NFL team. For my Wake and Rake pick, I'll take Ottawa and Tampa Bay over 6.5 goals tonight. When it comes to college basketball, I also like UConn -4.5 over Arkansas.
I'm also on UConn tonight. I'm fading the muscle man.
All right.
Eric Musselman. All the way. Hey guys, Corey from Waterloo. This year's bracket has been whack.
Yeah.
So out of the remaining teams, I'm taking either UConn or Texas to win the whole thing. P.S. I love the name Bunker Ailish. And shout out to Corey from Port Hope. Have a great day. That's more commentary than anything.
That's very sweet.
But he likes UConn or Texas to win the national championship.
Okay, Ron and Jules, every morning. Happy Baby Friday. For today's anchor, I'm going to go to the NCAA tournament and take Gonzaga +1.5. Jules will take Leafs on the money line -105. Atta girl, Jules. It's Ron and Jules.
I'm glad someone had a good night. Ian, he's got a check mark for Pirtle over 30 points and rebounds last night. Freddie over 23.5 points. Walker Kessler over 3 blocks. I'm glad someone's profiting in the Wake and Rake. But today he'll change it up. Michigan State money line. Okay, that goes against the Uh-oh. Kansas State pick from Duncan.
Uh-oh. Duncan and Ian battling it out. All right, last text in here. I'm taking the Barry Royals under 12 girls basketball team to cover the spread against the Aurelia Lakers. My daughter, Isabel, to have over 6.5 rebounds. Let's go, Royals. Just Jeff and Barry.
Love it. Winner gets to start building that new NFL stadium.
That's right.
It'll be in either Barry or
Get
Aurelia.
Get the U12 girls out there with shovels. That's team bonding.
Or between Barry and Aurelia. Okay, so we got a couple things in there. Let's go with our picks and we'll circle back.
I got one more in the text line here.
Okay.
Ailish and Justin, what's up, fam? Will from Niagara. I hit a same game parlay and cash out for double on two other tickets last night. Kind of smoky over here. I like Cleveland minus four against Brooklyn. Obvious reasons. Stomped them out last time they met. Free money. Have a great day. That was the last one there.
All righty. I'm going to go with the Dallas, not money line, because money line is, it is in range, but it's a little closer to minus 200 than minus 100 where we'd like to live. So I will take the Dallas Stars on the three-way money line plus 100 versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. I lost fading the Penguins last night, but that's the key. They played last night against Colorado. Now they're traveling to Dallas. Dallas will maybe smell a little blood in the water because they're fighting for the division title with Colorado. So an opportunity to gain a full game on them with Pittsburgh taking care of business. And then if they can do that themselves, they'll be in a better position tomorrow morning. So I'll take Dallas plus 100 three-way money line. So Dallas in regulation.
Okay. I'm also going to go back to a pick that I didn't hit this week because it's time to just double down. I'm going to take the Bruins on the puck line against the Montreal Canadiens at home. I picked the Bruins on the puck line against the Sens, and they only won 2-1. This was 2 days ago. That's not happening again, okay? You're not going to squeak by a win against the Montreal Canadiens on home ice. I need to get them back on track, the Wake and Rake picks, because I was red hot last week, and now I'm ice cold. So Bruins, puck line, let's go, guys. Like, you're the best team in the NHL for a reason, so win by 2 goals against the Canadiens.
What did Bruce Boudreau call them? Machine-like?
He did.
You need to see that machine churning in the right way tonight.
Okay. Two texts to read. Corey from Port Hope says, shout out to the other Corey. It's so sweet when they text each other through the text line. I get to facilitate.
It is your favorite thing ever.
And then Isabel, made Isabel's day. Thank you. Go, girl. You got this. I'm betting Isabel over 6.5 rebounds for my Wake and Rake pick.
There we go.
She's going to kill it. Okay. Let's pick our anchor submissions. We got two hockey picks. Both of them are going back to the well and trying to get on the right track here. So we could go Patrick Cantlay, my guy. We could go Joel Damon, but that's a bit obscure. Slovenia to win. Why can't I say that? Kansas State. We could do a little NCAA. Kind of like that.
Okay, but we have competing, other than UConn, minus 4.5 over Arkansas. I'm down with that.
And you were feeling that one to begin with, weren't you?
Ron's got Gonzaga plus 1.5. I'm terrified of, because as I mentioned
that
before,
one's
I got
too
a lot
tight
of UCLA.
For me. I don't know anything.
I don't really want to get involved in that. It is a pick'em game, it seems like. I like UConn a lot.
Let me just go check my bracket. Did I have UConn going? Because
I don't think you have Arkansas going to the
No,
elite.
I definitely had UConn going somewhere. Do I have them this? I do. I have them in right now. Let's go UConn.
Okay, let's go UConn.
I had UConn versus Kansas, but obviously they're long gone.
Well, who'd you have winning that game, Kansas or UConn?
I had UConn winning
that
game. There
you go. You're in a better spot to advance.
I have UConn and Gonzaga in the next round. So it's actually, let's do it. UConn, baby.
Okay.
Minus four, you're seeing it?
It's minus 4.5 from Corey from Port Hope. I'm not seeing it at anything. 4, 4.5, we'll just play it.
Well, I'm picking four because that's what's in front of me.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, so Bruins on the puck line. Let's go, guys. Figure it out against Montreal Canadiens at home where they never lose. So odds are that this could go well. Dallas Stars in regulation against the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are on a back-to-back, and UConn minus four or whatever you see on the spread against Arkansas altogether. That is plus 518.
Okay, sweet. We got close to 10 minutes. Maybe we should fit some Leafs.
We could probably
general
do that.
Discussion since we talked about it with Bruce.
There's
a
some
little
lineup
bit.
Changes.
There's
actually
some lineup changes. I got them for you right here. Matthews and Marner reunited. I guess they were at the end of last game. The second line is featuring, once again, Michael Bunting, John Tavares, and William Nylander. Mm-hmm. That leaves on the third line, Noel Acciari to center Sam Lafferty and Alex Kerfoot. And Zach Aston-Reese, David Kampf, and Wayne Simmonds. Those were the practice lines yesterday. That means Bobby McMahon is out. He's dealing with a re-aggravated injury. And I guess on the outside looking in, from a defensive standpoint, Gustafson and Liljegren were the guys doing the extra work at practice. So any takeaways from that? Simmonds getting back in, Tavares and Nylander reunited, Gustafson and Liljegren on the outside looking in. The expectation, I think, would be that it's going to be Matt Murray tonight.
Yes, so Samsonov is not going to be joining the team. I believe his wife either had a baby or is pushing it out today. So he's out of the picture. Joe Wall backing up. I would assume it would be Matt Murray tonight against the Florida Panthers. looks like TG Brody, as you said, is back in action. So that will be good to shore up that blue line. But Simmons, who were we talking? We were talking to Kipper 2 days ago.
And yesterday,
he was saying that he'd really want to see at least Simmons over Zach Aston-Reese. So they get both of them in there.
They get both for now, yep.
You know, I don't know. That fourth line needs to kind of find their identity as well. But I'm happy to see Tavares, Nylander, and then Matthews, Marner again. Like, I feel like the experimentation has gone a little bit too galaxy brainy a little bit. You know, these things work. So you need a bounce back game tonight. A big win against the Florida Panthers would be a great way to start that. And I just want to see some consistency in the lineups. That's my ask.
Yeah, and that is the ask, but I guess what we thought was consistent now is inconsistent. I guess with the fourth line, right? That was the one thing we were banking on. We were seeing Achari, Zach Aston-Reese, and David Kampf on that fourth line, and now we're not going to see that with Simmons coming in and Achari moving up in the lineup. Is the last remaining constant Cali Yarncroke and Austin Matthews playing together? Now, Kipper, if we're going back to that conversation, didn't love that idea, didn't think he was much of a top line or top six forward. I disagree with him in that regard. I'm like, you know, you can have utility play in the top six. I don't think Michael Bunting is a quote-unquote top six forward per se. Like, you're not building around Michael Bunting. You're complementing with a Michael Bunting. And right now, I think the most complimentary player that the Maple Leafs have, at least in terms of top six help, is Cali Yarncroke, because he's doing a lot of the defensive work. He's doing a lot of the forechecking. And guess what? He can shoot the puck a little bit, which helps. I think it's more opportunity. And I think the argument from Kipper was, yeah, well, he hasn't been able to use that shot to score very much at the NHL level prior to coming here. Well, yeah, he didn't play in the top six much. He was playing a more of a support role with checkers, and his responsibility was to check. And I guess he can do that, or give some of that skill, lend some of that checking talent to a top line that always needs to be supported by strong defensive play. And if he can put the puck in the net, then it's like Zach Hyman with some scoring talent, if you want to put him in that sort of same category. So I think it's still a partnership worth exploring and seeing how much they can build. But again, I'm with you. It's like, it's time to start putting some pieces into the puzzle. Stuff that's going to be permanent, some permanent roots in terms of the lineup, I think is a great idea for this team moving forward with just 10 games remaining. So we will see if they move closer to what they will present on night one with this lineup, although there are a couple things clearly that are going to change when the games do count the most.
I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you saw this, but during the media availability yesterday, Matthews mentioned that the team kind of addressed the situation prior to their practice about leaving Samsonov out to dry. And I think yesterday we talked a lot about how it seemed like there's no intensity, right? That game just came out. You let the Islanders roll all over you, a hard forechecking team. You didn't have the fire that you hoped to support your captain returning to his former team. It was a bit lackluster at times. So maybe they had some difficult conversations in that locker room. I will dig your heels in, because these games mean something. We just talked about it with Bruce about how important home ice advantage is going to be. Both these teams, the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs, have really good home ice records. So if you're playing for something down the stretch, it's the advantage of having home ice advantage in your first round playoff series, the line matching that might happen. And I think if they had to have some difficult conversations before Wednesday's practice, I'm glad to hear it.
And I hope that's not just for the benefit of Ilya Samsonov, because you know what I'd love to see tonight? And
I was actually steal a game?
Not steal a game, just not give up four goals. And I was actually thinking of playing this in the Wake and Rake. The under 3.5 goals for the Florida Panthers tonight was set at minus 120 where I saw it. And I thought, well, that's pretty close to split odds, even odds. I think it was minus 120 each side. I guess they demand that you pay the juice a little bit. But I feel like it's time for a staunch defensive effort in front of Matt Murray. And if he's been playing like he has been playing, if they give him some proper support, if they give him something to work with, which they haven't for the last two games where their goaltenders have been hung out to dry, I think he can put together a start where you are allowing under 3.5 goals. I'd love to see Matt Murray put up a, I don't know if quote unquote quality start just based on statistics. It'd be nice if Matt Murray could do that, because the giving up four goals per game thing, like, yeah, you might have played better, but it's not fun giving up four goals, I imagine, every single night you go out there, especially when you're still competing for something internally like Matt Murray may be doing right now. So a really good defensive game, some responsibility, some intensity funneled towards that aspect of things, I think that would go a long way for the Maple Leafs tonight.
So not only is NCAA a March Madness back today, but the first round of the Frozen Four men's NCAA championship begins. Minnesota facing off against Canisius at 9 p.m. and St. Cloud State against Minnesota State. So Minnesota, obviously, we have a lot of eyes on that one. If they win that, and they should, their number one seed would probably be able to play in a massive rivalry game, Minnesota versus Minnesota State, and that'd be in 2 days. So you got two games there, and then you also have Denver against Cornell and BU versus Western Michigan. So we're getting into it now. Tomorrow there'll be four other games as they get closer to semis and the championship round, the Frozen Four. I can't wait. Obviously, I love to tune into a little Frozen Four action. Just seeing the women win on Sunday. Very, very intriguing, of course, with where Matthew Nyes ends up. And I really want to see him win a championship. You know, he decided to go back to college this year, and I know it kind of upset a couple of Leaf fans because, hey, come on, join with the Maple Leafs and make this year about your growth and development. But if you go and you win a championship in your final opportunity with that team, you know, you got a championship pedigree. You know what it means to win. I know that's it's not the same as winning the Stanley Cup, but I really hope that he gets the opportunity to make this year worth it in terms of his NCAA goals. So we're on the march to that right now.
I think that's a great perspective for you. I mean, like, you understand how much that means. And he didn't go back to school just because
he likes studying.
He wanted to study. No, he wanted to win this. And it means a lot to those who compete. I will say, Minnesota, minus 900 favorites.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right.
Against Canisius. So we could probably pencil them into the next round.
I hope so. I really hope so. So the march towards the Frozen Four begins. You got Leafs and Panthers tonight. That's at 7 p.m. and a full night of NCAA March Madness. You got the Blue Jays at 1 p.m. Justin will be off for the next 6 work days.
When you put it like that, it's like I'm like, you know, mailing it in a little bit.
Six shows without you, Justin.
Six shows without me. You're going to have Haley Salvian and Brent Gunning, two of our favorites, two people that we've co-hosted with each, I think. We've both co-hosted with each. Great personalities here at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So I'm looking forward to listening to those shows myself.
Justin's off to the warm sunshine climate of Costa Rica.
I'll be peeling next time you see me.
Yeah, you're a guy that's going to get some color. But you're going to get a burn for sure. It's your first sun of the year.
Well, listen, we haven't seen the sun in 5-6 months.
Wear sunscreen.
I will.
You're not tougher than the sun, Justin.
I will wear sunscreen, but I will still be suffering the effects of too much sun.
It's important to protect your skin.
I know.
You don't want to look old and wrinkly.
I'll get that text from mom later.
And be careful with your skin. So I hope you have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
Take lots of photos of sloths.
I will
They're
try.
Very cute
I'll
and fun.
Locate some
and
sloths.
Just so unique. So enjoy that. Have some peanut crunch or crush? Peanut crush.
Peanut punch, I believe
peanut
it was.
Peanut punch. That was from Katie Heindel. So if you're looking for a new treat, that's what she recommends. All right, Justin, enjoy your break. We'll miss you. See you in a while. The Blue Jays will already have started their season when you come back. Can't wait to break it down. And great food league MVP. Hopefully continuing that. This the start of the season. All right, I'll be back tomorrow morning with Haley Salvian. Enjoy your baby Friday.